Hello, I'm Matt, and this is Ghostthropology.
Ghostthropology presents discussion of ghost stories and beliefs, and how we share ghost folklore, and importantly, how belief in the supernatural reflects who we are. While I don't know when or where or how you are listening, I hope it's dark outside, as that is the best time for ghost stories. Episode 74, Chuck Lagoon, Micronesia. And this week it's back to the normal format and a shorter episode, one on a topic that I find pretty interesting and very creepy, though not necessarily for the reasons that you might think. Chuck Lagoon, also known as Truck Lagoon, as the phonemes of the local language do not quite match up with English, is a natural harbor in the Caroline Islands. The Caroline Islands are a part of Micronesia, which was invaded by the Japanese military in 1914. The Japanese would occupy it for the next 30 years and develop the area as a military asset, with several major bases being built up in Micronesia. The base at Chuck Lagoon was regarded by American forces as the second strongest naval base in the Pacific, with only Pearl Harbor being considered stronger. And just as the Japanese saw it as imperative to cripple Pearl Harbor, so too did the American forces see a need to take out Chuck Lagoon. It is, therefore, fitting that Chuck Lagoon served as a location from which the Japanese forces could prepare for the assault on Pearl Harbor, as well as attacks on the Philippines, Guam, and Rabaul. The military presence in Micronesia generally, and Chuck in particular, was vital to the Japanese war effort. Rather surprisingly, prior to 1944, the facilities were not well fortified. But in January of that year, the Japanese forces began to build up pillboxes, bunkers, install anti-aircraft guns, and prepare caves for occupation. The preparations were made in anticipation of an amphibious assault by the Allied forces. This was reasonable, as such assaults had been common in the Pacific, with the Navy, Army, and Marines from Allied countries working in concert to carry out operations on land, sea, and in the air. It was perfectly reasonable for the Japanese forces to assume that this would also be the case for Chuck. This new construction required labor, and that was supplied by the native Chukchi's people. The Chukchi's had previously been paid for their labor, but were now forced into slavery. But the amphibious assault never came, and in fact, was not needed to topple the base at Chuck. Over the next 18 months, a series of aerial assaults hammered Chuck, sinking ships and destroying Japanese military facilities. American submarines sunk Japanese ships coming to or leaving from Chuck, doing significant damage to the Japanese Navy, though not as much as the Allies likely hoped, as the Japanese Navy had pulled most of its ships prior to February 1944. The air and submarine campaign neutralized Chuck. While a Japanese military presence remained through 1945, it was never again an important part of the war. More than 50 ships and hundreds of aircraft were destroyed, and somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 Japanese soldiers lost their lives, 400 of which are said to have been trapped in the hold of a ship when it sank, drowning the men. Farmland that had been tended by the Chukchi's people was destroyed during the bombing, and many of these people had already been forced from their homes by the Japanese, making them destitute. The U.S. National Park Service, in a discussion of the battle, notes that over 120 Chukchi's were killed during the war, some during the bombing, others due to malnutrition and exposure to the elements that resulted from the Japanese occupation. If I had to make my guess, I suspect that this number is lower than the real casualty rate, as the record-keeping on civilian casualties in an occupied colony tended to be slipshod at best, but there simply isn't much data to make a better estimate. Since the war, the lagoon has become a popular destination for scuba divers who want to explore sunken shipwrecks. Most sources place credit for this popularity with a 1969 documentary by Jacques Cousteau. This influx of tourists has, however, provided needed income to the people of Chuck. Many of those who have dived in the lagoon report supernatural goings-on. This is not surprising given what divers encounter below the surface, although a significant number of bodies were eventually recovered and returned to Japan for burial, Many remain in the depths of the lagoon, and it is remarkably easy to find divers' photos from Chuck Lagoon that show human bone laying on various surfaces. Several of the ships that sank were cargo ships, including the Hokimaru, which was loaded with trucks. Divers swimming near the Hokimaru have reported hearing the sound of automobile engines starting and idling under the water, a sound that clearly does not belong in a submerged marine habitat. Allegedly, people have even recorded this sound, although how you would tell the sound of phantom trucks apart from the sound of currently active boat motors is unclear to me. Many divers have reported hearing machine-like grinding noises coming from the engine rooms of some of the sunken ships, and specifically from the Fuji Kawamaru, suggesting that the spirits of the war are still hard at work, not relieved from their duties by death. Some resources even state that there is a pile of human bone near the most convenient entrance into the Fuji Kawamaru, providing the perfect setting for encountering ghosts. Divers have also reported hearing human voices while underwater, or hearing those voices emanating from the water while the divers are above the surface or on land near the water. People who live on the islands allegedly report a sense of being watched when they are near the water, as if someone or something in the shipwrecks is observing them. Rumor holds that the locals consider the islands to be haunted, with a television crew from the show Destination Truth claiming to have heard stories about floating lights near the caves on the island, disembodied human voices heard throughout the island, especially in the lagoon area, and one of the crew claiming to have been touched on the shoulder when nobody else was present. By the way, you should go online and look up divers' photos. They are pretty spectacular. Commentary. This is an episode where you get to learn about one of my fears. While many people are creeped out by the idea of diving deep into a lagoon filled with human skulls, my reason for finding this creepy and scary are likely different from what most people would immediately assume. Dealing with human skulls, especially human skulls that have been picked clean by fish, is not a problem for me. Again, in my day job, I'm an archaeologist. I have worked with burials and even recovered human remains from an old plane wreck. As a student, I would study late at night into the early morning in laboratories filled with human bone. That is not a problem for me. I am perfectly comfortable around bones, human or otherwise. But the idea of being in an environment where I'm enveloped by a substance that has enough mass to crush me easily, and where I have to carry special apparatus just to breathe due to that substance, that's damn creepy. When you add that, even in clear conditions, that substance and the materials within it will obscure anything at a distance, and you have me further creeped out. And let's not forget that wildlife lives in the ocean, some of it likely to eat you, and some of it likely indifferent to you, but so huge that it could easily kill you without even noticing. I am not afraid of water. Let me go swimming in a clear lake or a river or, hell, a swimming pool even, and I'm a happy boy. I am not afraid of the ocean. My favorite place to be is on the beach, and while I am not overly wild about being on boats in the open water, it doesn't particularly bother me either. Though I am very much a boats as ocean transportation, not ocean recreation kind of guy. No, my fear is not of being near or on the ocean, but rather of being inside of it. The way that people view me as being a bit weird when they hear that I am perfectly comfortable handling a human skull? Well, that's how I view recreational divers. And so Chuck Lagoon is very frightening to me, not because of the potential for finding World War II era skeletons, but because of the fact that the ocean wants to kill us puny humans. And in this context, the notion of discovering human remains actually does send a bit of a shiver down my spine. Not because I am afraid of the remains, but because it means that the person whose remains I have found died experiencing one of the small number of things that I have a visceral fear of, being consumed by the ocean. The bones inspire empathy in me, and the thought of how they died is what inspires the fear. But now, on to talking about the ghosts. Considering that battlegrounds across the world attract ghost stories, it is only natural that the same be true of a naval battleground, or would that be battle water? This is especially true considering the volume of dead and the difficulty of recovering bodies from the water as compared to dry land battlegrounds. While the Japanese government has made efforts to recover and bury bodies from the lagoon, it is still common for divers to find human remains while exploring, which says more about the assault on Chuuk and the nature of massive shipwreck sites than about the efforts of the Japanese government. I wonder about a few things here, though. The first is whether or not the locals truly consider this place to be haunted, a claim that I encountered multiple times while researching this episode, or if the notion of the Chuukies believing the region is haunted is a European or US story that we place on the location because it is consistent with our own ghost story traditions. Haunted burial grounds, which is what this place has become, though a standard part of European and also US folklore, are not a universal part of human views about burial traditions. In addition, it is common for Americans and Europeans to attribute supernatural beliefs to other cultures, regardless of whether or not those cultures hold the beliefs in question. So I do have to wonder. I don't know if the Chuukies consider the lagoon or the islands generally to be haunted, and if any listeners have had reason to visit Micronesia, perhaps you could inform me. If they do consider it haunted, then I wonder if this originated as a native view, or if it is something that was imported, along with wreck diving tourism in the 1970s or perhaps later. Again, I genuinely don't know, and would be grateful to any of my listeners if you could fill me in. Similarly, I know that many non-competitive sports subcultures have developed their own superstitions and supernatural beliefs. Try talking to a surfer sometime, or a mountain climber, and you'll see exactly what I mean. If so, then I would wonder whether or not these beliefs have fed this legend. That said, I have spoken with a couple of divers about this, and they both think this is likely a dead end. While they have encountered divers with supernatural beliefs, they have not encountered a particular supernatural view common among a wide range of divers. One final note, I have observed that, as with many other ghost stories of more recent vintage, the haunting of Chuuk Lagoon is one that appears across the internet, often with the exact same information repeated over and over again. Not quite word for word, but without much variation. So it's not the copy-and-paste style of folklore spread that I have observed for other ghost stories, but it is something close to that. If you type Chuuk Lagoon or Truck Lagoon into Google, you will pull up many web pages, but I only cite a few in the show notes because no matter how many I went through, I never found anything new pertaining to the ghost stories, so I just included the first few that I found. Interestingly, all of the claims about this place being haunted that I could find seem to go back to the television show Destination Truth. There may have been stories about this place being haunted before that. After all, a lagoon filled with shipwrecks, machinery, and human bones seems like it's calling out for people to talk about spirits. But most of what I can find is derived from the television show. I also noticed that none of the sources for ghost stories cited primary print references, instead relying on hearsay or other websites, all of which, when you followed the trail, would route back to the Destination Truth television show. That said, there is now a story about a haunted naval battlefield, and it is spreading through the internet. I suspect that variations will start to develop and that, eventually, we will see a range of different tales about this area. In the meantime, learning about this location does not make me any more likely to try scuba diving.
If you have a weird tale, have had a strange experience of your own, or know of a bit of local lore that should get a wider audience, please feel free to contact me at ghostthropology@gmail.com. That's ghostthropology@gmail. You can find more at kmmamedia.com. Click on the Ghostthropology link, and you can find episodes, transcripts, sources, and a link to support us through Patreon.
Spooky!